So, what a blessing, church. Let's turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3. Revelation, chapter number 3. It's just popped into my head. It's not a prophetic message at all. I'm not that smart to study those deep things. Amen. I like to speculate and throw things out every now and then, but it's just foolish musings, okay? But I will say this. I think maybe we can all identify in what I'm about to say. Young people, even if you're homeschooled, young people look forward to the day when they turn 18. They look forward to that day, man. Now, for those of us that are in our 20s, all right, yeah, right, amen. All right, Brother Clem, love you, brother. Yeah, for those of us, now, we may be able to go back and think about high school. But even if you're homeschooled, you look forward to the day, 18, baby, woo, 18. There was a time when, and I'll just use me as an example, Laura and I were high school sweethearts, and brother, when you get to about the 10th grade, you're like, I'm getting tired of this, okay, amen? I'm getting tired of school. I'm getting tired of, Miss Brenda and I just briefly talked about, you know, the brain damage, you know, and just like, you know, school after a while, okay. And then we finish our junior year, and when Laura and I went to high school, our mascot was a tartan, right? Well, yeah, the Scotty dog, but it was the, what do you call that guy with the, that has the baton, the mace? Anyway, they wear the kilt and everything. He was cool looking. Anyway, they have this ritual every year. At the end of the year, they have this ritual where the senior, the guy representing the senior, he has his mace. And he's all decked out, man. He looks, remember Chris Hansen? Remember that? And we're in the gym. There's like 500 people in there. And everybody's real excited. And he comes out with this mace. And he tosses this thing in the air. And the guy who is representing our class, the junior class, he's supposed to catch it. And he has to, brother, if you drop that thing, it's like bad. It's like a bad omen. You can't drop that thing. Brother, this senior, he threw it like, I think, 3/4 of a mile in the air. You couldn't see it. It went so high. We're like, man, I hope this guy catches it. And this thing comes down. Everybody's nervous. And the guy catches it. And it was like, woo! And so, at the end of the junior year, we're like, man, we're going to be seniors. We're going to be seniors. And so that summer, so what grade are you going to be in? I'm a senior. Yes, I'm a senior. I'm a senior. Did I tell you I'm a senior? I am a senior. And so you know when your senior year starts, brother, you're kind of walking a little with a little spring in your step. You know, you're kind of happy because you know it's the final year. And what happens after you graduate? Freedom! Freedom! And you think to yourself, I'm going to start a new life. It's going to be great. And your senior year, you have those senior activities, senior pictures. Sometimes, brother, you get out of class so you can go look at the class rings. And then they have the senior trip. And we had a thing called grad night. And we went somewhere. And so you have these trips and these activities. And then you have Christmas break. You come back from Christmas break, and there's 4 months left. Now, depending on who you are, you got what's called senioritis. Yeah. Can I get a witness up in there? Because you know it's just a matter of time, and you're going to be walking across that platform, and yeah, I'm going to get that diploma, and I'm going to be free. I'm going to eat Twinkies when I move out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. With Mountain Dew, amen. And my roommates, we're going to stay up all night, all right? We're going to eat burgers and tacos until we can't stand it anymore, amen. There's coming, brother, it's just a matter of time. 4 months turns into 3. And then, brother, it's no longer 3 months, it's 3 weeks. And it begins to hit you. I can taste the freedom. Ooh, this is going to be good. And then, brother, when you get to the end, Once you test out of the class, you don't have to go back to the class. And you start signing the paperwork. You're all excited. You get measured for the cap and gown. And it's like, wow. Then you're just days away. And you're just so excited. Nothing can bother you. Nothing gets you mad. Because you know you're going to be going across the platform, getting that degree or getting that diploma. And so the day finally comes. You're nervous, but you're like, man, they're going to call my name. And we're going to throw our caps in the air. And the day finally comes. And that night, you start your adult life. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, remember in troubled times like this. Have you been watching the news at all? Have you been watching the news? We live in troubled times. My friend said something that was so good. He said, the victory's won. We're just running out the clock. Church, listen, it's just a matter of time. And all of us should be like that senior. We know, intuitively, we know we're near the end. And guess what? We're going to start a magnificent new life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to have a smile on our face. We need to be anticipating the coming of the Lord. It's just a matter of time. All of the crookedness, all of the cruelty, in God's eternal perspective, it's all in the trash can. Amen right there? We're just counting down the days. We're counting down the clock. It's just a matter of time, and this whole thing is going to be done. Amen right there? So with that, let's read our text tonight. Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 22. Let's stand in honor of God's word tonight. Revelation chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 14 through verse 22. Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking. This is pretty important. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here's our text for tonight, church. Notice verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for, Lord, just a real sweet spirit in this place. Lord, the wonderful songs we've been able to sing tonight. And Lord, the precious people here at Liberty Baptist Church, thank you for Liberty Baptist Church. And Lord, by faith, we can just feel it, that you're going to do great and mighty things and build upon all those things that you've done already. Pastor mentioned miracles, and God, I know you're going to do that. And so, Lord, with joy, we come to your word tonight, knowing that you love us deeply. Although, as we sang, we are prone to wander, yet, Lord, you draw us to your side, and we want to hear from you tonight. So, as your word says, please give us ears to hear spiritually, God, to be in tune with your spirit and the Word of God. We pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ said the church at Laodicea had lost its values, its virtue, and its spiritual vision. You know, Christians, for a lot of reasons, can lose and forsake their values, their virtue, and their spiritual vision. Pastor, we've talked about people not being able to see very far forward. And so we do things not realizing that it's going to hurt us in the long run. And so because we are like that, what is the cure for a church or a Christian who has lost its values, its virtue? They used to be virtuous. They used to have spiritual vision and faith. What is the cure? The cure is simply repentance. That's what the Lord Jesus says. Amen. Be zealous and repent. Now, sometimes repentance is the last thing a sinner or a saint wants to do. Yeah. Can I get a witness right there? Right. But God commands repentance when He sees sin or something harmful in our lives. You know, God really does love His people. And when He sees sin, He knows it's harmful. Pastor, you mentioned it tonight. What has God kept me from? Amen. He's probably helped me many times to go around disaster. And so God commands repentance. Why? Because He sees something harmful. He loves us. And He doesn't want us falling off a 1,000-foot cliff of sin and destruction. Verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." This verse is so famous and it is so powerful that they made a painting of it. You've probably seen the painting that someone did of Jesus knocking on a door. Very powerful verse and one of the best known texts in all the Word of God. Now, there's so much packed in here, but in essence, church, this is, you need to write this down or remember this. This is the main lesson of Revelation 3:20. In essence, what the Lord is trying to tell us is true Christianity, healthy Christianity, thriving Christianity begins and ends and is strengthened, amen, right there, and is powerful only when Jesus Christ is on the inside. That's good. Are you with me, church? Amen. Three quick thoughts and we'll be done tonight. Oh, by 11:45, amen. You're used to being... Wasn't that a great time the other night? I mean, that was such a good time. Pastor, I just didn't want it to end. Amen. But what a great time. Three thoughts and we'll be done tonight. First of all, number one, write this down, please. See the Lord's position. See the Lord's position. What's the Lord's position? The Lord is on the outside. The Lord's position is on the outside. Notice these words in verse number 20. Jesus says, "Behold," hey, look, that means see, "look, behold, I stand at the door." The Lord's position is on the outside. Now, many teach that the seven churches here in the first couple of chapters in the book of the Revelation, although they were literal churches, they existed at one time. Although they were literal churches, some teach they were also descriptions of churches that would come and go throughout the centuries. Some of these churches would be weak. Some of these churches would be dead. Some of these churches would be prideful or poor or persecuted or commendable. Others teach that these churches describe time periods throughout church history. In other words, the church of Laodicea pictures a time period when churches, by and large, and God's people, by and large, are apathetic or indifferent about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. They can take him or leave him. Okay. They're apathetic. Christ is on the outside wanting to get back into these kinds of churches and into the lives of these kinds of Christians. Now, think of this. I don't have my keys with me, but I got to sit right here. Imagine if you're arriving home and you get your key out to open the door. You put your key in the lock and you turn it and stupid key. All right, you finally get it in there, but it won't turn. You try doing the knob. You're like, hey, let me in. What are you guys doing? I hear you in there. What's going on? Let me in. That'd be weird, huh? You're looking at me. You're weird, preacher. That's strange. Yeah, that would never happen. Amen right there. Church, are you smelling what we're spraying right there? That would be weird if we went to our own house and we couldn't get in. Church, don't you think it's weird that Jesus is trying to get back into the place where he thinks he belongs, where he should feel at home? Amen right there. That'd be weird. Now, some of us probably deserve to be kicked out of the house. Amen. But not Jesus. Why is Jesus on the outside trying to get back in? Interesting question. That we, God's people, would put him in that position. Revelation 3:22 marks the end of what a lot of people call the church age. That dispensation ends and a new dispensation begins. We're raptured and we're taken out of here. And I just think it's sad that when the Lord Jesus comes back, that a lot of Christians are going to feel indifferent about him. Hey, listen, I don't want to be a fulfillment of that. Amen right there. I do not want to be. I want to be a part of the 7,000, brother, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I want to be that part of that remnant that stays faithful. Right. Now, brother, I'm with you. It's not easy. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. But I don't want to be a part of the fulfillment of that scripture. Neither hot nor cold. Indifferent, apathetic. I do not want to be like that. And I know you don't want to be that way. Now, look at what Jesus says. He says, notice this, he says, I stand at the door and knock. What's wrong with that picture? That's wrong. Jesus should not be the one chasing after me. You know what I'm saying? Jesus should not be the one who's always trying to get my attention. Hey, let me come in. No, I should be chasing after him. Pastor shouldn't always have to be begging and pleading and chasing people. Please come to church. Please serve. Please get involved. Please attend this. Please. We've got it backwards. I know in my own life, Jesus is chasing me. But I should be the one chasing him. But that's what the Lord is doing, I think, a lot of times. Let's turn to Mark chapter number 2, please. And church, let's look at this, because oftentimes I've seen things in churches and they're rejoicing. They're like, this is amazing. And the pastor and I get together and we're like, this is normal. Praise the Lord. We're praising the Lord with you. God's doing, you're getting some victories and there's some things happening, but this is normal. Amen. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And that's the most important thing, if Jesus is in the house. Amen. And straightway, immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. What a picture. People are thronging to be around the Lord Jesus. That's normal.
Amen.
Not Jesus chasing people down. Come hear the message. Come to church. That's not normal. Mark 2, verses 1 and 2. You can write that under your heading, chapter 2. Brother Murdoch, 7:6:16, said, this is normal. Amen. Now, brother, I'm with you. The world, the flesh, and the devil is fighting us 24/7. Can I get a witness right there?
Yeah.
We're just presenting the information. And we need help. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Amen. So we need God's word. But this is normal. This is normal. Wow, I just think of my own life and how oftentimes, even as a preacher, Jesus is on the outside and he wants to get in. It is... Church, listen, it is really easy to block Jesus out of your life.
Yeah.
I read this somewhere. Light, whatever it is, it's a wonderful thing. No one knows what it is, but whatever it is, it's a wonderful thing. We know where we're going because we can see, because light helps us see. Light from the sun gives us warmth. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Can I get a witness? All right. And if I get too much of it, I get burned and I peel. Amen. Unlike, I'm the only one in my family, brother, that doesn't tan. Isn't that weird? Even Joe is a blonde. It gets red, but then it turns brown. But I'm the only one. I feel cheated or something. I just didn't get that skin type. But anyway, the sun emits the light. And the light travels, get this, 93 million miles from the sun to get to Earth. But all I have to do is close my eyes and I can block the sun and the light out. Church, that's how easy it is to block Jesus out. Jesus came from a great distance. In fact, Jesus said, John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen right there. But we can easily shut him out. Oh, God forbid that we would do that. But it's easy. Brother, it happens so fast, and it's so easy that we don't even realize that it's happened. The Lord's position is on the outside. God forbid. God forbid he would be on the outside. You know, I was thinking about that carne asada. Amen. Sunday. Amen. Brother, that was really good. Sister, I wish you had... I was kind of mad at Brenda because she only made a little bit of her salsa. But I forgive you. It's all right. I forgive you. And Berenice, she made that pico de gallo. It was amazing. I'd not forgive her because she didn't make as much as I kind of wanted. But... Amen. But amen. It was good food. I'm just kidding. All right. Some are getting some serious looks out there. How dare you say that? No, I'm just kidding. Boy, it was good food, wasn't it?
Amen.
Wasn't it good?
Amen.
On Ricky. Did you see him cooking over there? Brother, he was loving it. I know why he wanted that job. Because I walked by a couple times. Woo! That smells good. Remember that, brother? He was smiling just like that. He was smiling as he was cooking. And you know, and I looked by and I smelled it. And I took a couple of peeks and went around the corner and looked at it again. Remember that? Remember that, Larry? Wasn't that good? He had like four plates, brother. I saw him. He was, yeah. And but man, it was good. And so we smell it. We see it. And then we went home. No. We ate the food.
Amen.
Amen. We put that wonderful food in us. We wouldn't let it just sit there. Church, are you picking up what we're throwing down there? Why in the world would we allow Jesus to remain on the outside? No, he needs to be on the inside. We understand that when it comes to food. We need to understand that when it comes to God. He needs to be on the inside. The second thought. See the Lord's position. It's on the outside. Secondly, write this down. Hear the Lord's plea. Hear the Lord's plea. Verse number 20 says, if any man hear my voice, notice and open the door. You may want to underline, open the door. Open the door. What a plea. That's the plea of Jesus. Open the door. Christ calls to us. And he pleads with us. But you know what is amazing to me? And it's so unlike me. Is that Jesus never forces us to let him in. Yeah. He could bust down that door, preacher, if he wanted to. But he never does that. He gives us freedom of choice. He gives us free will. We choose to let him in. Thankfully, although we don't open to him immediately, he's patient and continues to plead and says, open the door. Open the door. Aren't you glad the Lord pleads with us? Jeremiah 2:9 says, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Thank God he does that. Let's go to the book of Hosea, please, chapter number 1. Hosea, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter number 1. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea chapter 1 and verse number 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, this is interesting. This just popped into my head. Folks are still turning. Did you know that Joshua, Hosea, and Jesus are the same name? Interesting there, for whatever that's worth. The Lord said to Hosea, or Hoshea, Yeshua, Hoshea, Joshua, same name, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Go to chapter number 2. Look at verses 1 and 2. Plead with your mother. This is Hosea, Hoshea. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. This is the heart-wrenching story of Hosea the prophet, who was commanded by God to marry a woman of whoredoms. Why would God do that? Because God wanted his people to see and have a real-life illustration. This is how you are treating me. When you are not faithful to me, it's just like this. That's heartbreaking to me. And as Hosea told his children, plead with your mother, God pleads with us to be faithful to him. Amen right there. Now we understand faithfulness. Miss Laura is not really going to have a lot of sympathy if I just say, well, honey, I know this is not good, but you don't understand the pressure I'm under. And no, after she shoots me, amen, and the funeral's over, amen, she's going to go out and have a good time, have a big old steak dinner, amen. It's not reasonable for me to commit adultery, amen?
That's right.
Amen right there. It's not legitimate, and it's not reasonable, and it's not right for God's people to commit adultery against God.
Amen.
Child of God, be faithful. Be faithful. Why does Jesus plead with us? Why does he do that? I don't know if I would plead with a lot of people, preacher. I mean, once they cross a certain line, I'm not pleading with them. You know, the church of Laodicea had not been faithful. They had let a lot of things get between them and the Lord Jesus. And yet he's pleading with them. Now, why is the Lord pleading? Why is he so patient? Well, I think two main reasons. First of all, number one, he sees the potential in every person. He sees the potential. We're nothing. We are nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We are nothing. And then Jesus says, if you do everything you're supposed to do, still consider yourself to be an unprofitable servant. We're nothing. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We're nothing. And yet God says, you have potential if you allow me into your life. Jesus pleads with us because he sees the potential of every life. You and I don't see it because we don't have faith. Amen. Can we be real? Hey, you remember King Saul? Now, he was the first king of Israel, and God told him through the prophet, the last judge, the first prophet, Samuel, if you obey the word of the Lord, there shall not fail a man from your family that will sit on the throne of Israel. What potential! But he disobeyed the Lord, and his kingdom and his throne was destroyed. What potential! Why is Jesus pleading with us? He pleads with us, submit to my will, obey my word, follow my ways. Why is he pleading with us to do that? Because he sees the great potential in your life. Why can't there not be, sister, another Hannah, another Deborah, another Elizabeth, another Mary, another Esther here? Amen. There's potential. Brother, why can't we be another Samuel, another Hosea like the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? Why can't there be someone like that here? Amen. God says, I'll do a work in your day. You won't believe it if I told you. That wasn't just for Habakkuk. That's for us. Amen. Jesus is pleading for us to get right and do right because he sees the potential of every life. We have no idea who is sitting in this room today. Jesus also pleads with us because he sees the potential disaster if we don't follow him, if we don't submit to his will. He sees we crash and burn. Why is Jesus pleading? Submit to my will. Follow my ways. Obey my word. Why? He sees the disaster if we don't. And so he pleads, amen. Psalm 78:1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. Proverbs 8:4 says, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Proverbs 8, verses 6 and 7. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. 70 times in the Word of God, the phrase, hear the word of the Lord, is written down. Amen. So don't you think we ought to hear the word of the Lord? 7 times in the book of the Revelation, Jesus says, hear what the Spirit saith. Amen. You know, we ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think the problem is, Pastor, I can't speak for anybody else, but I just think that there's so many voices coming at me that I allow into my heart, my mind, I couldn't hear the Spirit if he was yelling. Brother, you know, when you're talking on the phone, mama wants to say something and Joe wants something and he's wanting a hamburger. with green chili on it, amen, and a big old chocolate shake. And Miss Laura says, honey, did you forget the milk or whatever? She said, I'm on the phone. Can't you see I'm on the phone? I can't hear everybody talking to me at the same time. I can't concentrate. What's wrong with you, woman? Amen right there. How in the world do you expect to hear the Spirit of God when you got a million voices coming into your life? I'm just trying to be real. Yeah, come on. Amen right there. Now listen. Don't you love living in the Sun Belt? Don't you love the New Mexico sky? Brother, if I had a dime every time Miss Laura and I talked about how beautiful the clouds are, amen, we'd get us one of those buildings, right? Amen, that we were talking about. And brother, we just love the New Mexico sky. And then when the stars come out, Brother Matthew, brother, they're so beautiful, I want to cry. Because my God made it. Amen, right there. And I'm going to where He is one day. Man, those stars are beautiful. And I just look up, and you know what? The stars, now stay with me, you'll understand what I mean. The stars hear the voice of God, and they do what He says. Amen. The sun hears God and does exactly what He says. Amen. The moon rotates. The earth revolves around the sun. They hear the command of God and do what He says. The tides move exactly where they're supposed to go because they hear the command of God. You know that, don't you? God says, I want you to go this far. God says, I want it to rain this much. Amen. Yeah. Brother, the Russians aren't controlling the weather. Amen. God Almighty's controlling the weather. Yeah. He controls every single solitary drop. And when God says, I want you to rain, the raindrops say, yes, sir. They hear God, figuratively speaking, you understand me, and they do what God says. They respond. Hey, let's be like the stars and the sun and the moon and the rain and the waves. Hear the word of God and then respond. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. We need to hurry. It's 10:15. And I said I'd get you out of here by 1 Samuel chapter 3. We have a lot of verses, so let me go ahead and just start reading here. 1 Samuel 3, beginning in verse number 1 through verse 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Get this, church. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Samuel was a child, but he made a mistake. What was Samuel's mistake? Anyone know? Samuel thought Eli the priest was calling him. But it wasn't Eli, was it? God was calling the child, but he made a mistake. Church, I think oftentimes what a lot of God's people do is they hear the preacher, or rather they hear the word of God, and they think to them, that brother Murdoch, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just, this guy, get him out of here. You know, it's not me. Don't make a mistake. When you hear this King James Bible being read, that's God talking to you.
Amen.
Amen. And that's God talking to me. I think we often make a mistake when we're hearing God's word being preached. And if it lines up with this book, then that's for you. And that is for me. Now, but here's what we're trying to say. Once Samuel understood that it was God talking to him, he responded. Now, brother, don't say amen, Miss Laura, but I'm dumb as a fence post sometimes. I hear the preaching just like y'all do, and I don't get it. I know, I'm with you. No one's condemning you. Don't get mad. Amen. Don't get bitter, get better, says someone, preacher said one time. Listen, I know it takes me a while to get this stuff too. I don't get it the first time. But when I finally get it, God help me to respond to God.
That's right.
Brother, God knows. He pleads with us. He knows we're sheep. It takes us 1,000 times to finally get it. Amen. God hasn't struck you dead, so calm down. But once you do get it, once you understand it's God talking to you, and once I understand God is talking to me, then we had better respond.
Yes, sir, that's good.
Amen.
That's good.
God sees the potential of every person, and he sees the potential disaster. If any man hear my voice and open the door, open the door, open the door. That's the response. Jesus wants us to open the door. You know, we have many doors, quote unquote doors, that Jesus is knocking on. And he says, I want in. I want access to that. Jesus is knocking on the door of our minds. He wants access to that. He wants access to our thought life. He knocks on the door of our marriage. God says, I want in. I want access to your marriage. He knocks on the door of our home life or family life or career. God says, I want access to that. Let me in. And once we perceive that, we need to open the door. Amen. Let's go to the last thought and we'll be done. See the Lord's position? He's on the outside. Oh, God forbid, we need to let him in. Hear the Lord's plea. Open the door. Finally, the last thought is claim the Lord's promise. This is the good part right here. Claim the Lord's promise. Let's go to Luke chapter number 19 back in the New Testament. Luke 19. Oh, my. It's much later than I thought. Miss Laura was distracting me. I'm sorry. All right. Thank you for laughing. Now, brother, get a hold of the Lord's promise. Sister, you need to write this down. Look at this. Claim the Lord's promise. He says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I'm going to give you the Kevin Murdoch version of that part of verse number 20 in just a second. And it's my head's going to blow up. It's so good. All right. Luke 19, verses 1 through 6. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So Jesus wanted to come in to Zacchaeus' home. He wanted to come in and hang out and abide and dwell for a little while with Zacchaeus. Now, brother, just Now, I don't have much of an imagination. Don't say amen, Miss Laura. But use your imagination. God says, I want to come to your house and have some carne asada and some salsa and pico de gallo. You got to be kidding me. No, God wants to come and have lunch with you. Are you kidding me? Now, brother, what in the world do you ask God? Brother Enrique, what you have God for the day. You guys are on your fourth bowl of Bluebell ice cream or something like that, amen? What do you ask God? What did they talk about? We don't know. We don't know. We'll know one day, I'm assuming, get to heaven. I wonder how Zacchaeus felt after that day. The greatest day of his life. God said, I want to come into your house. Now, here's the KMV of this part of verse number 20. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Like Jesus, or like Zacchaeus rather, Jesus says, I want to come into your life and have a meal with you that you will never forget. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You will have a meal with me that you will never, ever forget. Isn't that, couldn't we describe the Christian life as that? A meal that we could never, ever forget. But we have to open the door. But what a promise if we do. Jesus says, I'll give you a meal you'll never forget. Luke chapter 13, and we're done. Luke 13, and we're done. One last thought, and we're done. Luke 13, verses 25, 26, and 27. When once the master of the house is risen up, and he hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Can you imagine how terrifying it would be on the day of judgment when you try to get into the kingdom and Jesus says, get out of my presence. I don't know you. Church, I'm trying to get your attention here real quick. If you do not respond to the Lord knocking on the door of your heart and let him in, there will come a day when you will beg to come in. And he will say, I'm not letting you in. You think about that. Wouldn't it be terrifying if you try to get in and Jesus says, depart from me. As terrifying as that would be to imagine, and it's going to happen according to the Word of God. It's going to happen to some. You don't have to let it happen to you.
Amen.
Number one. Number two, as terrifying as this is, church, just think of how much it would hurt God if he pleads for you to open the door and you won't because some stupid habit or some stupid sin or your stupid pride gets in the way. We're breaking his heart. But the truth is, in the long run, you'll have the broken heart. So while you have tonight, open the door. and you'll have a meal with him you'll never forget. Let's pray. Lord, you said, if any man will, I can't imagine the possibilities, Lord, if just any man will. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, please, heads bowed and eyes closed. I perceive, I don't know if I'm right, I'm not a mind reader, but this just popped into my head. You know, I made a profession of faith when I was 10 years old, and then when I was 27, God got my attention. I didn't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven or hell, but I got it settled that night. I wonder if there's someone here, you've made a profession of faith. I'm not saying you're not saved, but maybe you ought to make sure you get that thing settled tonight. I'm just saying, there's nothing more important than your eternal salvation, nothing. And you're among people that love you, they'll be happy for you. This happens all the time. This is why we're here. Pastor and his family are here because they love you and they want to help you, and they can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. Nothing. I know my son is sitting in the second row. I know for sure. Well, you can have that assurance that God is your, that Jesus is your Savior. You can have that assurance. Jesus wants you to go to bed tonight. And when you lay your head down, he wants you to be able to say, man, I'm glad I got that settled. Jesus, thank you for pleading with me. I needed that reminder. I've been putting it off. I should have got it settled, but I did tonight. And Jesus will send the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and say, yes, I'm glad you did too, son. I'm glad you did too, my daughter. Thank you for getting it right. And now that you've got it right, just know that you're going to be with me forever. I wonder if there's anyone like that tonight. I didn't know for sure. I've been away from God for a long time. Oh, if that's you tonight, you need to get that settled. And you're among friends here. Christian, I don't know what God has laid on your heart, but I do know this. I believe Jesus is knocking on the door of the Christian trying to get our attention. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Are you ready? Because when he comes and gets us, he's going to open the door whether we like it or not. We want to be ready. You can be ready tonight. That's the thing about the Lord that I love. You can get ready tonight. You don't have to go on some long 10-week, 3-month kind of deal to make things right with God. No. Jesus says, come unto me. Now, open the door. That doesn't take a lot of time, does it? Doesn't take a long time to open the door. If he's knocking, open the door and he will come in. And he'll give you a meal that you